And now, your go-to source for year-round fantasy hockey advice, DFS and betting coverage. This is NHL Fantasy on Ice.
What's going on, everybody? Pete and Nick back with you, NHL Fantasy on Ice, here on Tuesday, September 20th. We're recording this, and we're talking bargains, fades, and bounce back players for the upcoming season. Just a few weeks away, Nick. What's going on, buddy?
Not too much. Feeling good, feeling great in anticipation of a week from now. Yes, September 27th, next Tuesday, 3 Eastern time. We're getting together. That's right. Your boy is coming to the big city, NYC, for a live U2 draft brought to you by Truly. And our guest today is going to be part of that draft, Petey.
Definitely. Chris Meany, FTN Network, FTN Bets, FTN Fantasy, one of our best friends in the industry and one of the very best at breaking it all down in all different sports. Definitely follow him for his football advice, but I think his hockey advice is even better. One of the best out there. What's going on, Chris?
Pete, you're too kind. Always a pleasure to join you guys. I can't wait for that draft next week. It should be fantastic. Thanks for the plug. Football's been it's been pretty crazy for the first 2 weeks, but I am really looking forward to chopping it up with you guys. And it is fantasy hockey draft season. We're just a couple weeks away from, you know, the puck dropping on the new season, and I can't wait. This should be a fun episode. Thanks, guys.
I already have a bad beat in football. I lost by less than a point yesterday in week 2. So better days ahead. But Chris helped me out in my draft, and he'll help you out in yours. We're going to be looking at ADP, average draft position, in this episode throughout. Of course, Yahoo Fantasy is our season-long partner. So I'll be referencing those numbers a lot compared to our NHL.com rank. And I know Nick has his rankings, and he's seen a couple of lists around the industry, right? So we'll compare and contrast, and we'll see which guys are the best value this time of year.
Yeah, it's important to stress again, guys. Lists are subjective. Everywhere you look, you can use them as tools, right, Chris?
Yes, you can. I guess the one tip I'd have for people, I mean, you guys have rankings, you have your projections. I'd have that sheet, you know, your cheat sheet at your draft. And, you know, don't be afraid to mock draft, you know, whether it's Yahoo or other sites, just kind of, you know, shop around a little bit and see where players are going. And that's how you would treat mocks, just as like a practice. It is a practice draft, but I wouldn't go into your home league with your buddies without at least doing one mock, just to get a little bit of a feel of where players are going. And then you could, you know, like you said, scan the industry and see where other players are going in certain leagues.
And means, as you know, here at NHL Fantasy, we've had a couple different mock drafts already, looking forward again to next Tuesday as well. What are some of the things that you've noticed in terms of ADP as you sort of do some preliminary rankings and also look at some mock drafts here?
Yeah, I've really noticed some players who, you know, have been hurt, that were hurt last year, that people are a little bit uncertain of, you know, a Dougie Hamilton, a Drew Doughty. These guys, we know the kind of upside that they do have. And I've noticed those guys kind of fall down draft boards, a Thomas Chabot as well, kind of, you know, outside the top 25 at the defense position. I think that's, you know, really glaring for me. Some of these new players, you know, old faces, new teams, you know what I mean? It's uncertainty with maybe Jonathan Huberdeau, Johnny Hockey, or these guys, you know, still top 10 players at their position. You know, last year they were both, you know, return value for certain, you know, as first round picks. But, you know, just kind of get my feet wet with some mocks. I think, like I mentioned, it mostly – there's a guy that I do want to get into a little bit later on. I don't know if I'm like breaking any news that he's a good player, but I've seen, I'll just say, like Jack Hughes. I've seen Jack Hughes fall to like the fifth and sixth round, and I'm not sure why. This guy should be a third round pick. He was over a point per game player when he played. So there's some pros and cons to drafting early. It's not like football, Pete, right? In the NFL, injuries happen. But there's certainly a lot of pros in drafting early in the NHL season before we start seeing these guys on the ice. Oh yeah, Jack Hughes was pretty good last year. He was hurt for a big chunk of the season, but when he's playing, I mean, he's one of the best, even at his young age.
We have Jack Hughes in the top 50 overall. We have him as a top 15 center. I think the ceiling's even higher if he does stay healthy. And the one wrinkle that I like is that people have been saying, you know, Andre Palat's going to decline going from Tampa Bay to New Jersey, but it could also offer some protection and physicality on a line with Jack Hughes if they play together. We all know about the chemistry with Sharon Govich, right, Nick? We know that what Dawson Mercer brings to the top six if they slot him in on the wing. So just a lot to like. There's also Alexander Holtz. So many different guys that he could maybe thrive with and put together a really strong line trio fantasy-wise. regardless of line mates. So yeah, Jack Hughes, I mean, the ADP is 96. The Athletic has him even lower. Where do you have him, Nick?
Well, I would just say in general, my lasting question as I got set for this podcast today was why? a big scape of why. And among those questions, or that question, was Jack Hughes. Because like you, I have him ranked in my top 50. I really don't care who he plays with. I think Jack Hughes has proven when healthy the last couple of years, guys, that he can be an elite fantasy talent. And I honestly think he has a chance to be a top 25 fantasy talent this season. So that's certainly a guy means I'm all over. You mentioned Dougie Hamilton. You know, we've debated back and forth on that file. I just think in general, you look at New Jersey, I think there's going to be a lot of value means to extract from this team this year. And I think it starts, as you mentioned, with Jack Hughes.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I'll reference Underdog Fantasy. People are putting bucks on the line there. You know, it's a best ball format, so some people are willing to reach, you know, in on that site. But Jack Hughes, you know, his ADP is 44, so he's center 12 on average. So people are pretty aggressive over there. It's just, yeah, point per game player, no matter, you know, who he's playing with. I love Sharangovich as well. I mean, 24 goals last season. What, he's got 40 goals in two seasons, not even full seasons in each of his first 2 years in the NHL. I don't think it really matters, to your guys' point, who he plays with. Dougie Hamilton is another guy. The first season in New Jersey did not go well, right? We can talk about the contract all we want from a real-life standpoint. I wasn't in love with it at the time, but he is a great fantasy asset. He plays a lot. What do you deal with? A broken foot, a broken jaw. Like, things did just not go well. You put on a birdcage. Things are different. trust me. I'm not anywhere near these guys in terms of the production they put on the ice, but I played some rack hockey. I've went from a visor to a cage. It's like, where's the puck? Can't even see. Like, those are things that you need to just account for, adjustments that these players that you wouldn't even think of. I mean, you could ask him off camera. He'd probably tell you, yeah, it was like, I struggled with that cage on. It's very different, new team, new setting. But what we know from Dougie Hamilton over the course of his career is he's just a category filler. He throws his body around, he blocks shots, he's going to play on that top power play unit, he's going to shoot the puck a ton. So that's another guy, when I said earlier, players that we didn't see a ton of last season, this time around as we're drafting, they're nowhere near where they were going last year. He's still the same player. He's a little bit older, but he still can produce to be a top 15 defenseman, and he's not getting drafted as a top 20.
So the ADP on Dougie Hamilton, guys, is 104. I have him at 81. I think you have him a slightly lower, Pete. But again, lists are subjective. Pete, I'm going to make you the running back here. And you talk about teams we thought Johnny Gaudreau would go to. I thought New Jersey, at least. He clearly doesn't go there. He goes to Columbus. So you're the running back. You grab the ball. How in the world is Johnny Gaudreau going 20th overall when there's other players that are way, way better at that level?
No, you're totally spot on. I mean, that's, that's way too high for Johnny Hockey. Yeah. With all due respect to where he finished among the scoring leaderboard last year, tied with Huberto for second, leading the whole NHL in even strength points with 90 last season. I think it's coming down. I mean, I think he's still a top 35, 40 overall player, but when the ADP is like 19, it's a little high. And also Columbus, as much as we've been talking up how the ripple effect of Johnny Hockey on some of the centers, on some of the secondary guys and the whole thing, they still lost Oliver Bjorkstrand. They're still a shaky team overall, right, Chris? And we still have them, I think, sixth in our win projections for the Metropolitan Division, slightly behind the New York Islanders, who themselves are a fringe playoff team. We'll get to them a little later. But again, I don't think the Blue Jackets are a lock for the playoffs by any stretch. And Johnny Hockey is not a lock for 100 points, maybe not even 90.
Yeah, he's the guy going in the first few rounds where you're kind of like, you're really drafting on last year's production and on a really sound Calgary team. I mean, there's some people out there that play with plus minus. I don't suggest it, but that's another guy that's going to make a complete turn, right? A 180 in turn. I don't think he's going to be a minus player, but he certainly is not going to have one of the highest plus ratings of all time. You know what I mean? He's losing different line mates here. I think the addition is great for Columbus. And maybe we can talk about a couple players that he's going to play with that I think are certainly undervalued. Like the guys that are on his team, they're going to get a boost. Boone Jenner's going to get a boost. Patrick Laine is going to have a terrific playmaker alongside of him. You got Zach Werenski, who's been great on the blue line. So these guys, I have no problem bumping up my rankings and projections. But when it comes to Johnny Hockey, I got to bump him down just a little bit for the points that you guys made. Another guy too is on the same, kind of the same sort of deal. Huberto. Huberto leaves and goes to Calgary, still explosive offense, going to have some nice, you know, pieces on that team. Power play is going to be pretty good, but not that he played a lot of his hockey with Barkov last year, but it's not going to be the same type of offensive firepower. So those are two guys that I'm a little hesitant to draft as early as they're going.
So let me pose this question to you guys, because I totally agree with both of you. Are you taking Johnny Hockey ahead of Josi, Stamkos, JT Miller, or Temi Panarin? I mean, the list goes on of guys, Pete, I'd rather have as opposed to him, if that makes sense.
Definitely not ahead of Josi. And no. We were talking about it on a previous show. Like, you could even make an argument for some of those middle top 50 guys like mm-hmm. Gensel and Landeskog, right? The guys that cover hits. Like, I'd probably rather have those guys than Johnny Hockey. Johnny's had some elite seasons. He's also had some steps back over the years here and there, where it's not always top of the heap level production for a guy like him. I think, yeah, Patrick Laine in general, you could probably get in the 60s or 70s, you know, overall. And as much as we're maybe being a little harsh on Johnny, on the other side of the ice, he's going to be getting those cross ice passes, and Patrick Laine could score 40, 45 goals once again easily, and bounce back himself easily, maybe even 50, right, Chris? So that's going to be fun to watch. Columbus is going to be more electric than they've been since they had Panarin, Duchesne, and some of those big names that all left the team. So again, this is a breath of fresh air to the franchise that is one of those franchises out there, small market, that is back and in a big way, maybe bigger than ever.
You know, since we're on them, I mean, we're talking kind of bust, but Boone Jenner is a terrific fantasy hockey asset, mm-hmm. especially if you're in banger leagues. If you're playing in leagues with hits and shots, I mean, this guy had 23 goals, 44 points in 59 games last season. He's a former 30-goal scorer. He played a career-high 20-27. We're talking about Laine. We're talking about Johnny Hockey as his potential line mates. 10 power play points, the most he's had in 6 or 7 years. 8 power play goals is not even a career high for him. And he plays in all situations. I mean, 258 on the power play was a career high for him. And he's going to kill penalties. He's going to block shots. He's going to win you faceoffs. He's going to throw his body around. And he's a volume player. So I don't think you need to reach on a guy like Johnny Hockey. If Laine falls to you, you got a nice goal scorer there in the mid rounds. And then Boone Jenner is a guy that, depending on your settings, just keep an eye. If you're playing with faceoffs and hits, this guy's going to finish as like a top 35 center. And I don't think anybody believes that he's a top 35 center in real life, but you just have to know your settings because he's going to touch a lot of categories for you. So when we're talking about Columbus, I just think other guys benefit just with the addition of Johnny Hockey.
Yeah, but that's also assuming that he sticks all year, but I love that as a sleeper sure. look, Pete. Like, I think obviously we're all over Cole Sillinger too. Like, I think a variety of different guys are going to get an opportunity in that top six in Columbus, but yeah, there's certainly a lot of intrigue. Just looking atop the board as well, guys. And Pete, I know you want to get into some other guys. Like, Mitch Marner's a guy who maybe I have ranked a bit higher than most. His average draft position's 18. Pete, you got him at 20. I got him a bit higher at 9. I just think you look at the body of work last year, 35 goals, 97 points in 72 games. So if you prorate that over 82, that's 40, 71, 111. And the attachment to Austin Matthews, you know, means you think it's a stretch to be taking Marner in, say, the top 12?
No, I don't think so. One thing I've really noticed from Marner last year, more than years past, is, you know, he was really shooting the puck. I mean, 224 shots for him, more of a pass first guy, I think. But you said the goals, 35 goals was certainly a breakout for him. He had never had more than 26. There were some shortened seasons, of course, over the past couple of years, but I mean, he took his game to another level. We know how great Austin Matthews is. He's going as first, second, third pick. You're not going to get him fourth overall. He's probably going to score another 50 plus goals for the Leafs. So you have a duo that's one of the best in the NHL. And I think he has upside to be a top five player. And like you said, Nick, I mean, you got him as roughly 20, and that's kind of where he's going. So I think he's a very, very strong pick in the second. And heck, if you start you can have a little bit of a Leafs duo, depending on how your draft works. You can have Matthews in the first three. By the time it comes right back around to you, you can have Marner sitting there for you as well. And it's still going to be one of the highest, high powered offenses in the league.
Right. Regardless of how poor the goaltending might be, those guys are still going to score close to, if not over 100 points. I think Matthews was on pace for like, what, 115 or something like that. And Marner came very close to 100. We have him projected for 98. If you're in a points only league, Marner, you can make the case top 15, top 10 without question. So, yeah, I think, you know, looking at some of the other players that are going in different spots compared to our rank, Chris Kreider is one. He's going a little later than where we have him. We have him at 25. Actually, we have him at 32. ADP is 25. So he's going a little ahead of that. But I know he slipped in our mock draft. Chris, I'm curious to hear, do you think Chris Kreider is going to regress big time somewhere in between or replicate what he did last year, depending on where he play, who his right wing is going to be? You know he's playing with Zibanejad, but Kreider covers categories and he's fun to watch.
He is fun to watch and he is a sniper and, you know, he's had some nice campaigns before, but I think there's no question he's going to regress. I mean, he had never had a 30 goal campaign before. 77 points is like a high for him. He had never been above 53 before last year, 20% shooting rate, clearly a career high. It was 19 last year. I will say that he is a sniper. He likes to shoot. You got Mika there. You have a really strong power play with Panarin and Fox, you know, kind of as the quarterbacks there on that PP, but 14.9% shooting rate for his career. I think he's a fine target, but, you know, again, he's going around, you know, Kyle Connor, like give me Kyle Connor, you know, give me the proven goal scorer and sniper who's going to shoot the puck more, who's done it more than one season. So yeah, if he falls to you, great. But I think it's a little rich. I say he regresses a bit.
Yeah, I'm probably somewhere, you know, I'm in the firm belief that Kreider's somewhere in the middle, very similar to like what Darnell Nurse is from the last couple of seasons, Jacob Chychrun. There's a lot of these guys who just have these unbelievable seasons and then they come back to reality a tad. I think my prediction, my hot take with the New York Rangers, Pete, is that we're going to see a bit more oomph, if you will, from Artemi Panarin. I think the point production goes up a tad, and I think that takes away some cookies from a guy like Chris Kreider. I still think he's going to have a good year, but I'm probably looking at a fade at where he's getting drafted right now in fantasy hockey.
And if we're talking about the Rangers and bounce back candidates, Vincent Trocheck's their new number two center, and he's going to be playing most likely where Ryan Strom was playing on Panarin's line. Mm-hmm. If you remember, if you've been playing fantasy for a long time like we have, you remember that one season with Florida, Chris, where Trocheck had 75 points, had a ton of hits, ton of shots, great category coverage across the board. Do you see Vincent Trocheck fitting in well with Panarin, providing some protection and getting his point total and his ceiling much higher?
I do. Yeah. You know, at times last year, he was kind of playing with no one. You had Andrei Svechnikov a little bit, but I mean, he's going to play with Panarin here, I do believe. We just talked about Kreider and Zibanejad. So he's got a heck of a playmaker on his left side. And you know what? He is a guy that touches a lot of categories still. I don't think he's going to come close to that season, Pete, but you know, you and I are in a league together where we play with faceoffs, we play with hits, we play with block shots. He's going to touch those categories for you. He had a quiet 21 goals last season. He's a four-time 20 goal scorer. Yeah. I'm definitely in on him and he's free. He really is. I've done a couple drafts where I'm into my last round and he's sitting there and I'm like, you know what? I'll just take him. If things don't work out, you can hit the waiver wire after week one or two and get the hottest last year's Troy Terrier, you know, something like that. Somebody will surface and away you go. But Trocheck he's not going to get first power play unit time, but he's going to get some PP time and he's going to kill some penalties. I think a change of scenery is good for him. He's a really good player.
And that's the one thing, you know, we've noticed during our mock drafts and just like looking around and doing some research in anticipation of the real thing is like the centers, Pete, are dipping big time. I like your take on Trocheck. I think there's a lot of value there. Ryan O'Reilly's another guy I like for a bounce back season. Matthew Barzal, or as I call him, Matthew Starzal on Long Island. I think those type of guys you're going to find extreme value in because, again, the high-end centers are going and then people are just jumping the gun a bit. And I think if you wait and just be patient, I think you can get a real stud there, no?
Right. And you'll even see some big names in some Yahoo drafts. Like I see on our bargains list, we have Mark Scheifele. Mm-hmm. His ADP is somehow 132. I mean, Mark Scheifele, Chris, each of the past six seasons has been a point per game or better player. How many other players around the league can you say have had that elite scoring consistency? Not very many. So, and if we're expecting a bounce back season, maybe a little Scheifele with Ehlers action, or even Scheifele with Kyle Connor would be even better. Oh, yeah. We've seen those combinations in years past. They have the new coach, Rick Bonus. Do you like the Jets? Do you like their scoring upside and Scheifele and his chances of staying healthy here?
Yeah, there's actually three centers in this range that I like. Scheifele is one of them. Tage Thompson is another guy, and Anže Kopitar. And so you have Tage Thompson, who I don't think is getting enough respect. I mean, 38 goal season is another guy that touches a lot of categories for you. I think all three of those guys in that range, I think they can all be top 100 players and top players at the center position. So I just don't feel like Tage is getting that respect. Maybe people are saying, I'm not a full believer. Clearly the Sabres are. They paid him like he's a stud. And then Scheifele's just a proven goal scorer. I know there's a lot going on in Winnipeg, but they're still going to score a lot of goals, whether he's playing with Connor, he's playing with Ehlers. They still have a decent top six, and they're going to be able to put the puck in the net. And then like Kopitar, I don't know what it is. Like, nobody ever wants this guy, Anže Kopitar. He's always just hanging around drafts. He falls down draft boards. He's had multiple seasons with like 70 plus points, 19 goals. I guess that's probably it, guys. Nick, I'd say he's not a big volume shooter, even though he had 210 shots last year. He's playing in all situations, 20 minutes, 19 goals in 81 games. Maybe that's it, but he still had 67 points. I think he's going to be playing with two of the better line mates he's ever played with. Like, Dustin Brown's had some moments. Adrian Kempe, he went in the 14th round in a draft today. That is just snoozing on Kempe. He is a terrific goal scorer. And if Fiala is going to play on that top line, you're going to have one of the best lines in hockey. I'm confident in saying that. If that's a trio this year, it's going to be a really good trio. So I think Kopitar in around that range, maybe take Scheifele more goals, but I think Kopitar is the safer play, and nobody likes this guy.
I tell you, I saw that ADP at 127. I almost called producer extraordinaire Bob Bender and quit this podcast. I couldn't believe it. Like, he is top 75 in my world. I think he just hammered home the point. You look at the value who's playing around him. He's arguably got his best winger he's ever played with in the NHL, Pete. I'm going to be all over Kopitar, and I'm going to be that fantasy owner happy with taking Kopitar.
Right. And I mean, he played a little bit with Marian Gaborik and was pretty good like back in the day. And Kopitar did somehow 1 year, 17-18, had 92 points. Mm-hmm. So I think it's a real question. Like, could he get back to that level with Kevin Fiala, who was 10th in the NHL in even strength points last year? I think it's very possible. And we say it almost every year. We said it last year with the chances of him playing with Arvidsson. Arvidsson was more of a second liner. But again, this is a real boost to Anze Kopitar, one of the biggest teammate beneficiaries of any offseason move. Thomas Chabot's another one that you mentioned earlier, I think, Chris. With the ADP going outside the top 100, we have him ranked in the 90s. Real good value with all those different guys he's going to be playing with, if healthy, in Ottawa with Giroux and DeBrincat and Norris and Stützle and Batherson and, oh yeah, Brady Tkachuk. I mean, it's a ridiculous offense that they've built, Chris, the Ottawa Senators, this offseason.
Yeah, for sure. I saw you guys a bit of a debate, I think, last week, if this team was a playoff team. I don't think that they are, but they are going to score a lot of goals. They're going to play an up-tempo, fast pace. They're going to allow a lot, and they're going to score a lot. I'm going to be hammering overs all the time. I'm looking at shot props for Thomas Chabot. I have him as a top 12 defenseman. 38 points in 59 games, 173 shots. It's three shots per game, 93 blocks. And very limited role, right? He missed a bunch of time. I still think the Sens have a lot of holes defensively, so they're going to give up a lot. 26 minutes per game over the last 3 years. He's one of the leaders in terms of ice time. And if you're in a points league, 4.75 points per game, that was 15th among defensemen last year in just a standard points league. Guys ahead of him, Charlie McAvoy, not going to be around all year. Ryan Ellis played like a minute, probably shouldn't have even included him. But, you know, Chabot has a ton of upside. Offense is going to be great. I think him and Brent Burns are on the second page in Yahoo when you're looking at just overall rankings. I think both of those guys, if you want to target a top 10 defenseman, you get yourself a top 10, then you can get yourself maybe a Burns or a Chabot a little bit later on as like a defenseman going outside the top 15, 20. Both have upside to be a top 10. So like, there's value with both of those guys.
I'm sorry, guys. I can't get there with Ottawa. I can't get there with Chabot. He just burned me way too many times. And I have the thought of Jake Sanderson lingering in the background as well. I just think in general, guys, with Ottawa, and we've had this debate throughout the offseason. I think they've had a really, really solid, positive offseason. But from an ADP standpoint, Pete, can you get there? Can you get to 86 on Batherson? Can you get to 90 on Norris? Can you get to 56 on Claude Giroux? I'm saying fade city on some of these guys. Like, obviously, I'm looking at Brady Tkachuk. I'm looking at DeBrincat, those type of players. But I can't get to that level with some of these guys. Can you?
Yeah, we had a tough time with our projections for Ottawa because, I mean, how many guys are you going to have scoring 65 plus points? So maybe Giroux is not one of those guys. Maybe he just helps the team and he's more of a secondary guy helping Stützle in the faceoff circle and all areas of play and shifting positions all seasons and Swiss Army knife, that type of thing. But yeah, Claude Giroux, I think, is going way too high. Batherson, that's a little high for him. With the integration of all those guys that we mentioned, I mean, is Batherson going to be on the top line anymore? Maybe not. Is he going to be on the first power play anymore? Probably not. So that's kind of a fade angle on Batherson. But Stützle, I would reach for. Norris, I would reach for. Norris is one of the few guys that had a very high shooting percentage last year that I think is in great position to replicate it. You look minimum 150 shots on goal. Brock Nelson was first, 21.6. Norris was second, 20.4. Then Kreider, Landeskog, Drysdale, Terry, Mangiapane, Duchesne. These are guys, not Drysdale. He's not going to regress, but the other guys are at least in some danger of regressing because of the ridiculous high shooting rate.
I love Norris. I saw him go ahead of Jack Hughes. Not there. I would rather have Jack Hughes. But I think people just look at the goals and say, oh, 35. Look at all these new pieces coming in. Like we just talked about. Oh, maybe he can get to 40. Like 35 is great. Maybe he only scores 35 again. Like that would be fine. But Jack Hughes is a over a point per game player. I don't think Norris is there. Easy with you guys. I don't want anything to do with Drake Batherson or Claude Giroux. I think Shabbat is fine. I like the Sanderson call there. But Giroux is a fade. Everybody else, I think DeBrincat's a good target. And I also think that Tkachuk, I mean, certainly he is a great, he's going to a category filler. But yeah, the Sens maybe getting a little bit too much hype.
Yeah, like in general, you guys, you look at that Atlantic division. I want to get in Detroit next, Pete. I don't know if I can get to 45 on Mo Sider. And you know me, like, and Boomer Gordon always likes to bring this up on NHL Network Radio, my theory about sophomore defensemen. I just don't know if you're going to get to that level again, Mo Sider. Like he's going to be a stud for many years to come, but I think it's fair to expect, you know, a bit of regression maybe in the second year for a young defenseman. I know he was outstanding last year. I just don't foresee him as a top 50 fantasy file. And if I have to die on that hill, I'll die on that hill. I just can't get to that level with Mo Sider. Can you, Pete?
I mean, I agree with what you said about the historic thing about the defenseman position and how it's not easy to replicate things. I'm still in awe at what Mo Sider did last season, Chris, covering categories, you know, such a young age for a terrible team last year that now changed coaches from Blashill to Derek Lalonde, who was working under John Cooper with Tampa Bay. So again, that's a good pedigree to have. And he was with the team when they made back-to-back, when they won back-to-back championships and, of course, made the finals again last year. So, yeah, I think Detroit, with led by Mo Sider and a better supporting cast around him, like David Perron, that's another guy that you like, Nick, that they added, secondary scorer, who is a fantasy bargain once again this season, going from the Blues to the Red Wings. But Mo Sider, I think, is a special breed of defenseman that can replicate or even build on what he did last year. That's just how I feel about the individual, with all due respect to what has happened historically at the position.
You're just paying for like his peak, right? That's it. Last year he was a waiver wire guy. And if your keeper league settings, you're able to keep this guy, I would do it for sure. Like keep him, especially if in hits and blocks, he's, you know, going to touch 150 plus in hits, blocks, and shots. He just will. And, you know, power play production, you expect maybe the power play to be a little bit better, but does he top 21? You're just paying for that. The cost is like ultimately peak. I don't think he's going to get too much better, and he could regress in year number two. So he's going ahead of Morgan Riley. He's going ahead of Drew Doughty. He's going to get ahead of both Vegas guys, you know, and Theodore and Pietrangelo, who I do believe have a little bit more upside. Even late in Pietrangelo's career. But yeah, it's an expensive price to pay. I think you just have to know your settings. I love their, you know, the additions that they've made. That second line, I think you guys just touched on it, you know, with Perron, and if it's going to be Kopp in the middle and Vrana, I think all three of those guys are undervalued, and they could provide some, you know, value to your fantasy team. But yeah, Sider is, it's a little bit rich. Yeah, top 50 is a bit much for sure. There's other guys, you don't draft him just because he hits and blocks. You can attack the defense position with like your third D or your fourth D a little bit later on, and guys that are going to fill those categories for you. That's usually my strategy. Get a couple top 20 defensemen and then fill out number three and number four with those category filler guys that touch the power play a little bit. It's a little rich.
You said it well, Chris. I mean, you're investing in the ceiling. If Mo mm-hmm. Sider goes from being drafted around 50 overall or something like that and finishes top 10 overall, which is something that I think is his ceiling, maybe he's not going to finish with better category coverage, certainly not more points than a Cale Makar or Roman Josi. But, you know, if he gets you 65 points or something like that with 220 shots and, you know, a crazy amount of hits, and the Red Wings are a blossoming team like we think they are, that's the ceiling, right? That's like what we talk about with Brady Tkachuk because of the category coverage. We said top 5 to 10 ceiling down the road for Brady Tkachuk. I think there's a top 10 ceiling as well for Mo Sider overall, not just among defensemen guys.
Yeah, no, definitely. I just think, yeah, no, it's a healthy debate. Certainly, I think you look at Detroit much improved over the last, you know, 12 to 24 months, we'll call it. Certainly this offseason, I just think you look at that division, every game is going to be difficult. And, you know, there's others coming into the mix there. So we'll see on that front. I want to talk about the Vancouver Canucks a bit as well. A name that stood out for me, guys, Brock Besser, ADP of 148. I think it's important to bring up the statistics first and foremost. Last season under Bruce Boudreau, 49 games, 19 goals, 36 points. That's an 82 game pace of 32 and 60 points, which would be a career high pace for Brock Besser. I just think there's a lot of value, Chris, in a player like this at that point in the draft, where I think you're looking for the depth guys who could put your team over the top, right?
Yeah, he's a four-time 20-goal scorer. The reason why, you know, you're getting him where you are is because of just some of the – sometimes he disappears, and other times it's just injuries. Like, he – unfortunately yeah. for him, he hasn't been able to stay healthy. Some bad luck injuries, but you're right. I mean, getting a guy in that range, potentially outside the top 150, who's, you know, a 30-goal scorer, who can score 30 for you, it's a pretty good top six in Vancouver. So I'm definitely in on that, more so than Matthew Barzal. I mean, I agree that Barzal could, you know, probably bounce back here, but we're looking at one guy who's a shooter, loves to shoot the puck, and goals are hard to come by. That's the thing with Moritz Seider at pick 50. You know, you're passing on Forsberg, you're passing on Tarasenko, Jason Robertson, Nikolai Ehlers, you're passing on Fiala, you're passing on legitimate goal scorers in this league. Goals are tough to come by. You can't find this stuff off the waiver wire for the most part. So, yeah, I mean, you're taking a guy like Brock Besser, who has the pedigree to score 30, to get you 20-plus power play points. Yeah, I think it's that's not much of a risk there. Nick, if he suffers another injury, then you can – it's not like it costs you a whole lot.
Yeah, no, and Pete, I would just add too that I think we're expecting the shooting percentage to improve as well for a guy like Matthew Barzal. I believe it was down, 2% from his career average last year, Pete?
Right, and I'd like to see Barzal. I've been saying this for feels like a year and a half. Like, play him with Lane Lambert, play him with Oliver Wahlstrom. I just want to see it for a couple of weeks and see if this is something special and where the Islanders' offense goes from there. We'll see, but it's something that has been in the cards for a long time and something I'm excited to see those two guys on power play one and those two guys on the top line at even strength together. So, yeah, I think like when you look at bargains across the league and, you know, some other guys on our list, it includes some guys from some other lists. That's the interesting thing about a bargain. So we could say Mason McTavish is a bargain. He's going 165 in drafts on Yahoo Fantasy. We have him at 115. We moved him up a little bit more. Had an interesting debate on the Instagram page, NHL Fantasy, Chris. It was who would you rather have at the left wing position around 166 overall in ADP, Jacob Vrana or Mason McTavish? They're two of my favorite targets in all of drafts. And you could sit back and get one or both of them. Which guy do you like more, Vrana from those Red Wings or McTavish?
That's a good question. I probably shoot for the upside of McTavish. You know, this is some nice, exciting pieces in Anaheim. John Klingberg, I think, will help the power play there. They haven't really had a quarterback for years. So I think he's going to help. I'd probably shoot for him, but I think they're both good targets. Like you said, Pete, you know, Verana's just been a goal scoring machine in his stays with Detroit. I don't know if he can keep it up. I'm pretty confident he can't, but still like good value. What, 37 games, 21 goals. I had him on my short list here, 30 points, 7 power play points, probably first power play unit. Maybe plays a little bit on the point there with Sider. Like, that's a scenario I think could happen. So I think the safer pick is probably with Jacob Vrana, but I think, you know, I'd rather shoot for the upside in McTavish. But another guy I'll throw at you going in around that range is Alex Tuch. I mean, Alex Tuch, guys, we know about Alex Tuch. We wanted him out of Vegas in a situation, right? He was buried on the third line, second power play. Just look at some of the splits between Vegas and Buffalo. So 16 minutes per game in Vegas, 18-21 in Buffalo, 2 minutes per game on the power play. You know, with Vegas at best, almost three with the Sabres, 139 shots, 2.78 per game. Talked about Tage. Skinner's another guy who's going pretty late in drafts, 50 games, 38 points, 8 power play points. So kind of not in the same range, but outside the top 140 I'm seeing it on Yahoo. So, like, you know, if you don't, you know, get a winger that's going to touch a lot of categories, is a guy that's, I feel like he's basically free. I think he's a good 12th, 14th round pick, and sometimes going even later than that.
Give that guy the captaincy in Buffalo already, man. Like, I don't know if you guys saw him at the Bills game on Monday night too. He is fired up. He's the epitome of grit grinder in Buffalo. They got to give him the C there, and he loves being there, which is fantastic. And I love that look. I just think there's a lot of teams in this league where you can extract unbelievable value in terms of wingers. And I like that debate. I think McTavish is going to have a good year. Going to wait to see where he lands in that top six. If he can stick in that top six, I think it's easy to forget. Like, he's really, really young. He's accomplished so much. So, Pete, my answer would probably be, you know, on that merit, Jacob Vrana, just more so because of the body of work and the resume and what he's put together here with Detroit so far.
I mean, we had Jacob Vrana on our sleeper list. I thought it might be a guy we'd have to take off when we saw the ADP, but it's even lower than I could have ever imagined in a million years. So get Jacob Vrana on all your teams. I think if he gets better usage, more time with Dylan Larkin, maybe more first power play time. This has been years that we've been talking about Jacob Vrana deserving of bigger minutes and better usage and things like that. He could score 40 plus goals very easily if he gets better usage. So that's what I'm looking forward to with Jacob Vrana. And yeah, just to piggyback off what you guys were saying with the Sabres, I know one of my mock drafts, I took Rasmus Dahlin. I think he has a high ceiling at the position. Tage Thompson is on our bargain list. We mentioned him earlier. Can he replicate what he did last year? It's the big question, but I just think that he is such a franchise shifter for them. I mean, they looked like they lost that trade, the Ryan O'Reilly trade. Mm-hmm. And now you can make the debate, like, as much as we love O'Reilly, he doesn't have David Perron anymore. I might rather have Tage Thompson than Ryan O'Reilly. Maybe not definitely, but you could at least have the debate now. Whereas a couple of years ago, the return that the Sabres got for Ryan O'Reilly was a joke. Yeah. At least it looked like it.
It felt that way too. It's like the old Undertaker gif. I just, again, and we've talked about it all podcasts long, there's just guys you stay away from. You know, aside from Rasmus Dahlin, like, just Buffalo has been a black hole for me in fantasy hockey. And I know there's just a lot of value. Like, Tage Thompson was outstanding. Skinner, Jack Eichel over the years. I just can't get there. And even in that debate, Ryan O'Reilly in a contract year, he's going to crack my top 10 bounce back candidates for this season. But I'm taking nothing away from Tage Thompson. I just expect a bit of regression, just more because I think that, you know, means I think that division clearly is improved, and I'm not sure Buffalo has improved in this offseason, if you get what I'm saying.
Yeah, and I'm seeing a lot of people talk about the Sabres as like a team that's going to make some noise. It's like,
I don't see
they're
it.
Not even close. Yeah, no. Not even close yet. But they do have a definite solid number one line. I mean, those three looked really good last year, and I expect them to kind of carry over. You know, I don't think the shooting percentage was outrageous for Tage Thompson. I mean, 15%. We haven't really seen him. It took some time. I mean, he's a big body center, played with a lot of confidence, went from 13 minutes to nearly 18 minutes a game, 10 power play goals. You know, own power is going to help out the team, you know, offensively as well. I think I would rather Tage, but, you know, O'Reilly, I do believe, is a decent bounce back candidate. Is another guy. I wish he would shoot the puck a little bit more. Yeah. I think, you know, Kyrou probably benefits now, solidified into a top six role with Perron out. Like, at times he was just playing on the third line. So I'd say he probably finds a way to play with O'Reilly more times than not. So that'd be a pretty nice duo between those two guys. But I mean, I don't know if he scores 38 goals. I'd say he doesn't, but I'd say Tage Thompson scores 30. I guess this is a guy who just loves 253 shots, guys. Like, he really does like to shoot the puck. And he's a pretty good little player.
To be fair, I think he's a freak, just to piggyback off that point. And a freak being the fact that he's 6'6" and he's a center and he can skate that way. And I can't remember the last time we've seen that in this league, Pete.
Right. And we were talking about, you know, maybe being critical of what the Sabres didn't do this offseason to improve, but they're going to try to improve from within. They had a great group of players in Rochester last year. Mm-hmm. Jack Quinn, JJ Paterka, they drafted Savoy. He's already looking like maybe he's looking good in the prospect camp, and maybe even he would make a sniff at the roster. And there are so many other guys, UPL at the goalie position. There's still Owen Power, who we got a little look at last year, but all of a sudden you're talking about six, seven, eight guys that maybe four or five of them will make the roster. Maybe Jack Quinn, who was, I believe, AHL Rookie of the Year last year. Maybe he's a sneaky Calder look. I'm sure you could get enormous odds on him if you have some faith in Buffalo. Again, it might be a shot in the dark, but they are a team trending way, way up in the keeper league rankings, and they got a surplus of players in our top 100 for keeper and dynasty leagues.
And I think actively Craig Anderson is now the oldest player in the NHL, and he'll form something there with Eric Comrie. Any final thoughts you know, not only from this episode, but also getting set for the YouTube fantasy draft brought to you by Truly next Tuesday at 3 Eastern time. Don't you dare miss it.
I definitely won't miss it. I won't be missing it. There's a couple players I wanted to toss out. Just like know your settings. I think it's very important. Mark Stone going as a top 40 player. I don't like these pass first guys in the first couple rounds. I'm not a fan. I think he's a good player overall, but he's dealt with a lot of back injuries. I'm not in on him bouncing back. I mean, 9 goals last season. I know he only played a handful of games, 37, but he doesn't like to shoot the puck. And I'm just not in on that. Again, guys going around his range, Eichel, DeBrincat, Robertson, even Patrick Kane playing by himself, Lindholm. These are guys that I'd much rather have. I wonder if we'll see Matt Duchene be able to back up last season as well. 43 goals, 86 points. He's a 2-time 30 goal scorer, but you got to go back into 2010, 2011, 12, in around that range. Like, he's just been basically a 50 point guy. I think he can get to 70, but 18.9% shooting rate, 13% for his career. And then two final thoughts. We were on the Canucks. Quinn Hughes is getting drafted as a top 10 defenseman. If you're playing with hits and blocks and shots, just pass. I mean, he finished roughly as the 20th defenseman in Yahoo last year of a really good season, 68 points. I mean, he didn't have a power play goal. He had 31 power play assists. He only had 150 shots, 19 hits, 56 blocks. A lot of the guys I just referenced going around him as well. I think you just have to know your settings. And then two Oilers defensemen. I wouldn't mind hearing your guys' thoughts. Darnell Nurse and Bouchard. Bouchard had roughly 30 fewer fantasy points than Nurse in a point setting. And when the coaching change happened, you started to see the ice time come down for both overall, but certainly for Darnell Nurse. This guy is getting drafted much earlier than Bouchard, and I just feel like it should be closer. I have them kind of neck and neck in my rankings.
I'll make this a quick answer. I really like Evan Bouchard. I have him ranked higher than Nurse. Nurse has the category coverage, but Bouchard has the ceiling of being power play one with McDavid, Drysdale, the rest of the big dogs in Edmonton. So I'm going Bouchard there.
Yeah, I tend to agree with that as well. I do have Nurse as somebody who I think is going to bounce back this season, but I think you can't lie and look at the numbers and look at the, you know, correlation as well with the head coach, the new head coach in Edmonton, and also Evan Bouchard. So I would go towards Bouchard, especially, you know, where he's being taken right now, Pete.
Right. And a couple other names I just wanted to mention. Jack Eichel, I think, bounce back city there. Connor Hellebuck, same type of deal with his start volume being among the top goalies in the league. And then don't forget about some of those injured guys that could join the team, well, a month into the season, 2 months into the season, whether it's Brad Marchand, he's a bargain. Charlie McAvoy's a bargain. Tom Wilson's a bargain. Unfortunately, I would have said that about Sean Couturier, but sounds like he's injured again. So maybe steer clear of the Philadelphia Flyers for the most part this fantasy season. And then one other debate I was looking at. So the goaltenders, Freddie Anderson, I think, is going lower than he should be. We have him 27. He's going 53. Jack Campbell, we have him 41. He's going 73. So you could face, you know, third or fourth round, fifth round, where you're choosing between Freddie Anderson and Jack Campbell. Who do you guys like more?
Yeah, I'll go first. I couldn't believe that Spencer Knight is actually going ahead of Jack Campbell. I can't get to that conversation just yet because I think Sergei Bobrovsky is the guy at least to start this season. So yeah, like those are the names that stood out when it came to net mining, especially Freddie Anderson, who I think easily could be a top five fantasy goalie once again. So again, as we started, and we can bring a full circle in this conversation, lists are subjective. So don't base everything, you know, off that means.
Yeah, I think I have some shares of Frederik Andersen already. I was surprised I got him outside the top 12 at the goalie position. I think he's going to be fine. I think people are just a little concerned with the injury last year. He's had some injury riddled seasons, and you know, you always see that day to day or that injury, you know, designation next to a player. And I think that, you know, people are like, oh no, thanks, I'm not going to do it. But I think he is top five upside. We saw it last year before the injury happened. He had a marvelous season, and I like the Hurricanes. I mean, I think we all do on this show. Certainly defensively, they're pretty sound. I'll throw John Quick out there too, right? I'm in on this Kings team. He's basically free in drafts. You can get him outside the top 20. Him and Logan Thomas are guys, like, I don't suggest punting the goaltender position, but you can get these guys as your second or your third and basically free.
I got one more goalie, Semyon Varlamov, contract year, book it.
I'd rather him than Matt Murray.
Me too.
That's
me too.
Very true. And yeah, you could see, we already see a couple of situations out there, right? Where, you know, Vegas, or if Toronto goes off the rails, like, there are going to be teams out there middle of the season that will want Semyon Varlamov.
Definitely.
It's Sorokin's team now, so expect a full-on changing of the guard at some point this season, if not early, probably around the trade deadline. But again, Chris, thanks so much for joining us. Looking forward to the YouTube Fantasy Mock Draft next Tuesday at 3 p.m. Eastern. So Chris, thanks for joining us now, and thanks for taking the time in advance for next week.
Yeah, I appreciate it. No, this is great. You know, it's nice to kind of pick your guys' brains here, players that you're liking. And if anybody has any questions, I'm sure they can reach out to us as well. And I appreciate it, and really looking forward to next week. Should be a lot of fun. Thanks, guys.
All right. Thank you once again to Chris Meaney, who, again, Pete, better bring his A game next Tuesday. And speaking of A game, the latest episode of the At the Rink podcast, Connor McDavid and Bill Daly. Not too shabby, if you ask me.
We don't even talk about McDavid anymore because he's so solidified at the top of the NHL.com rankings for years. We used to have debates and question it, but we don't even do that anymore. It's such a sure thing. But looking forward to listening to that episode with the guys, talking with Connor McDavid as the Oilers look to take an even further step forward this year. And if you're looking to take a step forward in your fantasy draft and make the jump from being a casual fan to fantasy hockey manager, for top shelf fantasy hockey action this season, play Yahoo Fantasy Hockey. Yahoo Fantasy Hockey makes it easy to play, draft, and manage your league. If you're looking to play for the first time, hit us up for advice, but choose the best way to play fantasy hockey. It's Yahoo Fantasy Hockey, an official season-long fantasy partner of the NHL. I've been playing Yahoo my whole life for hockey and football, and I'm never looking any other way, man.
Yeah, I'm pumped up. I am fired up about this season, Pete. Let's tie a bow on this thing.
Definitely. So again, looking forward to the YouTube show. Go back and listen to our other season preview episodes, Mock Draft 1.0, Mock Draft 2.0, Sleepers and Keepers and Rookies. And of course, today we talk bounce backs, but we've pretty much covered everything across the board. So go back and check those out before your draft day. So for Chris Meaney, follow him at FTN Network. Nick Alberga, Pete Jensen, we'll talk to you next time. NHL Fantasy on Ice. Thanks for listening.